The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number nine. So much more than a producer with a little two-finger wave.
No, I did a point today. Oh, I'm going to keep mixing it up on you now because I think it distracts Gil just enough. I like it. Got to keep him on his toes.
What gave you that impression? Got a good show today. Carl Sack. We have two guys on the show. Let me couch it this way. Two guys on the show who genuinely move lines when they release plays. Carl Sack in the NBA from KillerSports.com will join us here in about a half hour. And in hour number two, not that we're here to have him move lines, but just know that this is his history. The greatest sports bettor of his generation, Rufus Peabody, will join us in studio. And I'm pumped to just chill with Rufus for a little bit. He made his hay where he first rose to prominence, where he first became known to the general public, or really just around Vegas, first of all, before that even, was in Super Bowl props. Super Bowl props specifically after that Steelers-Cardinals Super Bowl. Remember back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
The old Santonio Holmes toe tap to win it for the Steelers against the Arizona Cardinals.
Great game.
What was that? After the 2008 season, I want to say. That was where he first sort of made his mark. And the rest is sort of Super Bowl prop history. We'll talk to Rufus about that background and what he's thinking about this year and how this has changed over time. Right. For the hardos who used to exploit this and now have to sort of approach it a different way. Jason Weingarten also joining us from Under a Cloud of Smoke to talk Super Bowl and baseball, a little baseball on the show today as well. We'll talk, of course, Super Bowl 59. I want to start, though. We don't usually start Monday mornings with something that happened before yesterday. But obviously, the biggest thing that happened in North American sports, and maybe global sports this weekend, was what went down Saturday night in the National Basketball Association. I think everybody had the same exact reaction, which is, did Shams Charania's Twitter get hacked? How is this appearing on my phone? Remember, there was a couple weeks ago where the phone had this breaking news of some dunk that Ja Morant made over Victor Wembanyama and it didn't even count. It was after the whistle.
Yeah.
And I was in here and I was like, get this off my phone. Like, just get it off my phone. So this goes down Saturday night. Luka Doncic traded to the Lakers. I don't know if you were like me. My eyes, the message to my brain didn't work the first time. What am I looking at?
He was hacked. He was for sure hacked. I had just gotten home for the evening, and like it popped up. I start getting texts. No, he's hacked. His follow-up tweet to try to clarify to everybody.
Yes, this is
real.
This
I'm
is
like,
not
well,
a drill.
Well,
yes.
Clearly he got hacked because if you send that tweet, you must be hacked, right?
Here is the details, of course, if you missed it, if you were trapped under a heavy object this weekend. Lakers receiving five-time All-NBA, Luka Doncic, Maxi Kleber, Markieff Morris from the Mavs, Dallas acquiring Anthony Davis, one of the 75 greatest of all time when we'd had that 75-year anniversary. Let's not sort of sleep on that. Max Christie and the Lakers 2029 first round pick. Jazz also involved in this. They received Jalen Hood Schifling, the Clippers 2025 second round pick, and the Mavs 2025 second round selection. So at once the shock sort of wore off, I think my first reaction was the same as most too, which is, wait a minute. They just traded Luka Doncic for that? And without diminishing Anthony Davis at all, still for that? No Austin Reeves, no other future firsts included. How were both of those things not included? And we'll get to that here momentarily. Like, in a NBA landscape where Rudy Gobert got traded for four firsts.
Four. Mikal Bridges got dealt for five.
What are we talking about? What is this? First of all, the betting line moves. Again, just to get the perfunctory stuff here out of the way, the betting lines move. The Lakers essentially cut in half and more to win both the Western Conference and the NBA title from about 40-1 to now around 16-1, where they're hovering right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Mavericks go the other way on the trade from 16-1 or 20-1, doubling, if you will, or 30-1 is what we're showing in terms of after the trade for the NBA championship from 12-1 to 16-1. After the trade for the Western Conference, Lakers, we have at 40-18, Western Conference from 20-1, 9-1. Doncic, just put Luka in perspective for a second. Luka Doncic, LeBron James, who are now teammates, are two of the only three players in NBA history with career averages of at least 25.7 boards and 7 assists per game. They're the only two active ones. The third is Oscar Robertson. That's it. That's the list. Only Michael Jordan, Elgin Baylor, and Wilt Chamberlain have scored more in their first 50 playoff games than has Luka Doncic. By the way, that's not in shape Luka Doncic, for those of you who want to get to that part of this, which we will. Among players with at least 400 games, Doncic's 28.6 point average is third in NBA history, behind only Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain. Jordan, Wilt, Luka. That's the list. And at 28.6, by the way, points per game, the highest career average player for a player, that's the highest career average, talking about Luka now, for a player at the time he was traded since 1975 when the Bucks dealt Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to the Lakers. Doncic, for those who have a short memory, third in MVP voting last season, averaging 33.9, 9.8, 9.2. Easily one of the greatest statistical seasons in league history. Took his team to the NBA Finals, oh, by the way. And then, Kelly, my brain goes into, okay, if I was drafting, if we do that old, you know, barroom exercise, if I was drafting an NBA team from the beginning here, who would be the number one pick? Okay, Victor Wembanyama's one. I'll even throw in Jokic, even though he's about to be 30 years old, because he's Nikola Jokic. And then after that, it's, I don't know what, Luka or SGA?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wherever you want to go, yeah.
And then I struggled because I love sports and I love sports history. And I just think about, like, what's the sports equivalent to this? And first of all, I got, you know, I sort of asked that openly to friends. I asked that, you know, on Twitter openly. Or I don't know if I asked on Twitter, but someone suggested, Richard Eng on Twitter said, what about Nolan Ryan getting traded after his fifth season or at the age of 25 from the Mets to the Angels? And I said, well, I'm not old enough to remember that, but after five seasons at the age of 25, Nolan Ryan hadn't even had one good season yet. We knew he threw 100 miles per hour, I think they knew, but nobody knew what he would become truly. So that's not it. Then there was football equivalent. Someone said, what about Ricky Williams trade? Well, the Ricky Williams trade, Ricky Williams hadn't played a down yet in the NFL, and Mike Ditka and the Saints traded the house for him. And sure, Washington ended up being able to draft multiple great players, Champ Bailey, John Jansen, LeVar Arrington, but they didn't do anything with this. But anyway, Ricky Williams hadn't played a down in the NFL. It's not the same thing. And then someone said, what about the Herschel Walker trade? Because that was in season.
Yeah.
It changed a franchise. Dallas ended up drafting Darren Woodson and Emmitt Smith and Russell Maryland with those picks. Yeah, but even Herschel Walker at that time had only had one good NFL season. He was great at Georgia. He was great in the USFL. But he had only had one good NFL season. There is no equivalent for this. This is the first time in NBA history that two reigning all-NBA players have been traded for each other mid-season, according to Elias. This, to me, in terms of just a shock level, was more like a Buster Douglas knocking out Mike Tyson thing, where you'll never forget where you were thing, in terms of just a trade equivalent. There is no equivalent. That's what I'm getting at here. There's no equivalent to a guy who, at 25 years old, regardless of what you think about him, his shape, and we'll talk about that next, is everyone believes he's a future Hall of Famer. Everybody believes he'll win, I don't know, one or two championships. And, you know, of course he'll win a couple MVPs. Like, that's kind of baseline we're thinking about for this guy. So why did this, how could this have happened? How? The two knocks, of course, are he is chronically out of shape. He was topping out over 260 this year. Injured. He's only played 22 games this season. He hurt his ankle on Christmas. He hasn't been back since, though he's supposed to come back here in relative short time. So was it so bad in Dallas? Were they so just completely bent about him not being able to stay in shape? They convinced themselves he was not going to sign a Supermax with him. By the way, this takes the Supermax off the deal now for Luka Doncic. Costs him like $100 million, though he gets to opt out, I think, at the end of next year. What possible reason can you come up? And even if you believe those things, let's say you buy into that, you're like, yeah, that's exactly right, Gil.
Yeah.
He's not in shape, and maybe he wasn't going to sign the Supermax. The point still remains, how do you only contact the Lakers to make this trade? How? That is the malpractice here, because, and I'm not even exaggerating, what we just talked about before, Gobert for 4 first rounds, right? Rudy Gobert. You could have, after the season, conceivably, right? conceivably have gone to the Houston Rockets. Let's say the Rockets don't do so well in the playoffs. You could have said, hey, how about Amen Thompson and Sengun? You could have gone to the T-Wolves and said, how about Anthony Edwards? These are not outlandish requests. Went to one team. Please explain that to me.
It makes absolutely no sense. I can't. It's the one thing that we still need. We need answers on, because it's not like, look, we've heard that some of the things we've heard since is, okay, they're worried about the agents getting involved then if it opened up more than one. It doesn't matter for your long term future of your team. You're responsible to get back more than this. And I think what it. I heard Tim Bontemps put it like this, Gil, and I think he's right. For the Dallas Mavericks to make a move like this, it's not only that you do not believe in the future of Luka Doncic, it's you don't believe that Luka Doncic is going to show you ever again what he's already shown you. Think about all the playoff stats you just rolled through.
That is out of control.
It's the only thing that makes sense. It is the only thing that makes sense is that things have gotten so bad with Luka and the conditioning and whatever that they fully believe that they won't even see the Luka that we saw from a year ago again.
Mavericks GM Nico Harrison, quote, I believe that defense wins championships. He told ESPN's Tim McMahon, explaining his motivation to deal Doncic for Davis. I believe that getting an all-defensive center and an all-NBA player with a defensive mindset gives us a better chance. We're built to win now and in the future. He later went on to say this is more of our timeline. Are either the Mavericks or the Lakers better this year?
No, both teams got worse this year.
Mavericks seemingly trading the long term for, in theory, the shorter term. Mind-blowing. More on this, and of course, Super Bowl 59 on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Ever had your deposit blocked by your bank right before a big bet?
Yep.
Ever needed cash at 2 a.m. for another shot at the tables, but hit your ATM limit? Oh, we've all been there on a trip to Vegas. Boost has your back. Edge Boost, that is. Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors. Listen to this. With Edge Boost, all your gambling-related transactions will always be approved. No more headaches. For you high rollers, you can move up to $250,000 a day on your Edge Boost Visa debit card with unlimited withdrawals. This works 24/7 for instant deposits. Never wait for a wire to clear again. Gets better. Every time you deposit into a gambling account, you earn cashback rewards up to 0.5 percentage point. All this for no usage fees and no minimum balance. This is a bank account, not a credit card, so there's no approval required or credit checks. Finally, Edge Boost has a suite of responsible gambling tools to help you manage your bankroll and make informed decisions. What are you waiting for? Go to edgeboost.bet. That's edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code ANG to start at Tier 2 for faster bank transfers and higher cashback rewards. Sign up for Edge Boost today.
It's very cool, Gil. Sat in a meeting last week with the Edge Boost guys talking about this. Got to fire it up my account this weekend, started using it. Very, very interesting tool for bettors. So you just hit on a lot of the, I think, advantages for moving money around more easily. I think, to me, one of the most fascinating and best parts of it for some of the newer bettors out there, it's a straight-up checking account, right? It works like that, a debit card with checking account. For newer bettors out there that are trying to practice better bankroll management and separate, making sure you are separating your betting funds from actual real-life funds, this is the perfect solution for that. Because you can set up your whole account of just where your betting dollars go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, it's good.
Very, very cool. I've just started playing around with it this week and excited to be working with Edge Boost here.
What spoke to you there? The $250,000, move that around? That kind of thing?
You're like, that's me. For our bigger bettors out there, they get the ability to do that. I didn't exactly do that. Moved around a few hundred this weekend. Yeah.
Dallas Mavericks GM Nico Harrison on the future of the Dallas Mavericks.
Well, I think the long term is the time frame. I think he fits our time frame. If you pair him with Kyrie and the rest of the guys, he fits right along with our time frame to win now and win in the future. And the future to me is 3-4 years from now. The future, 10 years from now, I don't know. I don't think they probably bury me and J-Bud in, or we bury ourselves.
Yes.
By the way, if you didn't see the video there, Jason Kidd is being held hostage next to him.
Seriously. It is so awkward. How is it? I mean, it's part of your job to think about 10 years from now. You just mortgaged the future for a shot at the next. I mean, where's the only, how is this a win for Dallas? They win a championship in the next three seasons.
It's the only way that everybody shuts up.
The only way.
Yeah.
Imagine being in that position with this roster.
Said earlier, neither team is better this year.
Yeah.
Do you still buy? Because there's a lot of people who immediately said, oh, these teams aren't done. They're not done. LeBron could be moving. I don't believe LeBron's moving.
It sounds like through this weekend, even though he was like the third person to find out, even though that this is now the first time in LeBron James' career that basically decisions are on a team that he's on are not being made around him. Sounds like he's going to stay.
Brian Windhorst from ESPN. This is not about the Lakers, not really about LeBron. It's about the Mavs and Luka. One of the biggest, most stunning trades in the history of the league. My phone's exploded. Basically a rebuke of Doncic. A rebuke. Mavs saying they don't think they can win with him. Defense, condition, ability to focus in the biggest moments. Luka locked into the Mavs, and it's the Mavs who are pulling the plug. Only one bidder as far as we know. One bidder, that is. They didn't even get the entire package from the Lakers. The Lakers are still holding a first-round pick. LeBron has dreamed of this. And by the way, that's the part that really upsets people too. The Lakers, who looked like, we all were sort of under the impression that when LeBron finally retired, whenever that day would come, that the Lakers would be mired in mediocrity at best for a generation. Not anymore. Another lifeline for the Lakers.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Cam asked me back there, back in the control room, how long does Bronny make it after LeBron leaves? And I'm like, as long as Luka wants, it might be 2 minutes later.
By the way, in order to make this happen, Anthony Davis waived his $5.9 million trade kicker as part of the deal. A decision made to give the Mavericks some flexibility with the salary cap to be competitive as competitive as possible. Also recognizing there's no state income tax, so we could make it back that way in Texas. And the Mavericks celebrated by turning around and giving up 91 points to the Cavaliers in the first half yesterday.
That game was crazy. I mean, Luka, this is costing. So the whole Supermax thing, you broke it down a little bit in the first half. This will cost Luka Doncic tens of millions of dollars.
It will, in
the long term. Yeah. Like, this is, I cannot wait already for Lakers at Dallas games. Are you kidding me? Luka Doncic had every intention to sign that Supermax deal. We've never seen a player turn it down before. He had every intention to stay with this franchise, and the Mavs said, we're good. It's incredible.
One more thing about this. The image, and I don't know that we lingered on this show, but when the Mavericks won the Western Conference, I believe it was the Western Conference title.
I know where you're going, yep.
And Luka's holding a beer. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? It's sort of like almost like a reception line kind of thing. And he's holding a beer. And Michael Finley, former Mav and in the Mavs front office, sort of just saunters by and quietly grabs the beer from Luka. That is sort of now becomes, in some sort of way, the symbolic image of the end of the Luka Doncic era. Like, was that the Mavs? We kind of laughed at the time, right?
Yeah.
But that almost becomes like, oh, wait a minute. That's like symbolic of what precipitated this.
I just think so. It's in some of this, though, Gil, we have to keep in mind. I know he's been in the NBA for a while now. He's a 25-year-old kid.
25.
25. Like, you're betting on him not getting his crap together, as a human being and a player. When I think you can look around the league, and I'm not saying everybody can't, right? I'm not saying everybody can do this. But Nikola Jokic did it, right? He got in shape. He took it far more serious. He's the best player in the NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo. We all saw what the raw skill and ability could be when he first got in the league. He worked his ass off in the gym, became one of the best players in the NBA. Has Luka Doncic done that yet? No. But are you kidding me with the potential and what he could be? And I said that both teams got worse as of right now. Both of these teams have to make moves for this season. Dallas has too many bigs right now. They've got to add to their team, unless Derek Lively's out for the season, which is definitely possible. And the Lakers got to figure out a roster. They don't have a center right now. They got to figure out
no bigs.
They have no bigs.
So okay, betting question on this.
I made a bet based off this.
Yeah, betting question on this has to do with, so again, the lines moved in terms of futures. Neither of us think, by the way, that either team's going to be particularly better this year based on this trade. Maybe Luka does come back and goes crazy.
So maybe the
Lakers will be awesome. I don't know. But again, there's not enough basketballs to go around because Luka's ball dominant. But now maybe, you know, this is going to be different for LeBron. And within that difference, I wonder, will the books adjust his daily game props. Talking about LeBron now. You're pointing at me like I'm onto something.
I brought this up yesterday. I think you are absolutely right.
So will they adjust it quick enough? Because if he's going to be off ball now most of the time and he's not starting every possession, are the points going down? Are the boards going to go up? And will they adjust fast enough?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's tough to make a call on it now because I think the same way you do. But right away, I feel like right away when these two start playing together, it's still going to be a little bit more LeBron take the lead until that transition happens. But I think when we see that transition coming, I am totally with you. It is going to be LeBron unders is what you got to be looking at.
Okay, we've gone almost two segments without mentioning Super Bowl 59.
My mind's just blown. Huge trade yesterday. Wembanyama got De'Aaron Fox.
So that to me is, I guess we're not going to talk about Super Bowl 59 yet, but that to me is the most amazing part of the weekend is that that's a huge, right? De'Aaron Fox goes to the San Antonio Spurs to be paired up with Victor Wembanyama. By the way, those are the details on the screen right there. I won't go through them all. But
didn't have to give up Jack Diddley, basically.
Yeah, that's correct. That's the one that is almost the most tantalizing, like almost as much, if not more.
For what? Team improvement this year. Yeah, but I mean, the Spurs are definitely still behind both those other teams as far as chances to win the West.
But then the leap perhaps next year even can be seen that much clearer.
Absolutely.
That's a huge trade.
Absolutely can. You finally get, this is so big for Victor Wembanyama's development because Victor, especially this season, the attitude offensively with Wemby has been, go out there and do your thing. We don't really know what you are yet in the NBA, right? Do we want him taking threes? Of course, everybody yells about him posting up more. Just don't really have the frame for it. But this year was about figuring out how Wembanyama wanted to play offense in the NBA. I don't know that we've really answered that through this half of the season, Gil. So pairing him finally with another star player allows them to define these roles a little bit more.
I like that thing.
And I think it's going to matter huge for Wembanyama's development. Should I tell you the bet I did make in the NBA?
Oh, yeah.
I know we're running out of time.
Yeah, go
ahead. All right. I had this circle to make this bet in about a week anyways, just was waiting for some schedule stuff and for Chet to get a little healthier. To me, the Dallas Mavericks were the biggest threat to the Oklahoma City Thunder winning the Western Conference. With Luka there no more, I fired on Thunder this week.
I already thought you had a bet on that.
I hadn't bet it yet. Kept bringing up that I was going to. Finally bet it this weekend. +115
Yeah. You took. Okay. Carl Sack, from a handicapping standpoint, somebody who's immersed in this far greater than any of us. Maybe not Kelly, but in his way, analytically, what's the impact here? That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
No big game is complete without a classic game of squares, but this year make it even better with Circa Squares bets from Circa Sports. We all know the pain of pulling those terrible numbers. Well, not anymore. With Circa Squares, you get to choose your square and the numbers you want. Each square has its own odds, so you're always in control of your bet. Download the Circa Sports Nevada app today and place your Circa Squares bet. Turn your big game into a big win. With Circa Sports, we get tweets at Beat of the Book. Skill Alexander, thanks for all the tweets. Always appreciate the feedback. Sam Ginsberg, with the Dallas Lakers trade, the NBA managed to steal the limelight from the NFL, even with the much-anticipated Pro Bowl festivities. However, baseball will be taking over all media reports soon, as I believe they will be announcing their 2024 awards soon. It's a joke, of course, but we do have NFL awards this week.
Finally.
Oh, can't wait. What was that? We have to wait till Thursday.
I think it's Thursday. Oh, yeah.
D-Gen Southern Gent. We missed you on Friday, Gil, but I wanted to highlight the professionalism of shown by one Kelly Bidlin. The restraint shown when Joe Cirillo revealed his disdain for Blue Gatorade. Joe revealed his disdain for Blue Gatorade deserves an Emmy from Kelly. Kelly needs to soften his stance on Buffalo chicken dip, though.
Oh, man, was that brought up? I think I brought that up yesterday with Dustin. But yeah, buffalo chicken dip. You ever had that?
No.
Okay, so like I've only had it once or twice. Like, I like a lot of chip dips, okay? I love buffalo chicken. It's a terrible combination.
By the way, shame on me. I should have thanked Joe Cirillo off the top. Thank you for filling in on Friday. The Taylor Fritz of sports media.
That's right. You did a great job. Great
awesome.
Job. Took some jokes very well. Yeah,
he understood your jokes.
Yeah, the audience got involved. With some Taylor Fritz humor, and Joe did a great job.
I was the one I asked him the first time he was in here. I was like, "Who do people say you look like?" Before he could even answer, I'm like, "Taylor Fritz is the correct answer."
It's incredible.
Jay Fresh, You know that Mavs trade is bad when your first reaction is wondering if Shams got hacked. Yes, it is. Joe C714, look, as a Lakers fan and living in L.A., we're all over the moon. This tweet says it all. He's quoting Mark Cuban on Luka in 2020. If I had to choose between my wife and keeping Luka, catch me at my lawyer's office preparing for a divorce.
Gil, they had Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic, and now they got a bunch of dudes in their 30s.
Luka, they flipped Luka, Jalen Brunson, and Kristaps Porzingis into AD, Max Christie, and Spencer Dinwiddie. Chew on that for a little bit. Paul M., I will agree that this was a bad trade in assets return for Luka, but let's get something straight. Every year came into camp out of shape. Every year. Plays literally no defense. Correct on the results of the trade, but he's not an all-around great player.
All right, fine. So this is the one Dallas defense that I kind of get, like, wait. I understand. Nothing you're saying there is wrong. But you're also acting like Anthony Davis is coming back and is the Iron Man of all Iron Man in the NBA. Like,
yeah. Though he's been okay lately, so I can't really...
He's a great player. He's always been a great player.
No, I'm talking about his health has been great. Yeah. He's been fine lately. Shooter McGamblin. Gil, remember the ESPN notification about the Ja Morant dunk that didn't count? Yes, as a matter of fact, I mentioned it. Yesterday, I got an ESPN alert to inform me that the NFC was pulling away from the AFC in the tug-of-war match at the Pro Bowl. Shaking my head. Super jerk. Oh, I got a lot of these tweets. Super jerk. The NBA fingerprints are all over this thing. This whole thing was so the Lakers could stay relevant. If anybody thinks the commissioner's office didn't do this trade, think again. In my opinion, Dallas is getting something that nobody knows about right now. I'm not sure I understood that last part right there. Gabe Owen, it's Shrek McPhee. Didn't get me that time, Shrek McPhee. Happy Hendrickson week. Any final thoughts or updates on any NFL awards? Cannot wait any longer. I will love or hate Snoop after Thursday. Campbell over KOC, says for Coach. And Bruce Dobigan. The only comparable trade I can remember is me trading a Bobby Orr rookie card for a friend's 1987 Datsun 280ZX. Datsun.
That's a great tweet right there.
Okay, we'll get to more tweets coming up because there's tons of them. Ladies and gentlemen, he moves NBA lines when he releases plays. Both he and I were reared in the gambling world on the lap of Dr. Bob. It's Carl Sack from KillerSports.com, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing? Carl, what's happening?
How you doing, Gil? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. You know where I'm going with this. So one of the great strengths of Dr. Bob, besides, you know, being great at predicting the outcomes of sporting events through the years, is that he was the best in the world, I thought, and particularly in basketball, at sort of really evaluating what a player meant to a team. So while in basketball, because basketball is jazz, right? We all get super mesmerized by the athleticism and the feats of these guys, athletically speaking. But to actual points scored and points given up, he was great from a plus-minus perspective of really putting into perspective. And famously, some of the more outlandish ones here on the show over the years, Kevon Looney means more to the Warriors than Klay Thompson does. Jared Sellinger means more to the Celtics than Rajon Rondo does. When you look at these two trades, and let's start with the Luka AD trade, is there anything like that in here?
I don't think so. I think both players are, I don't think either one's like particularly overrated or underrated in terms of the betting market. I think sometimes the betting market gives Luka a little bit more value than he's worth. But in terms of, I don't think it makes either team significantly better or significantly worse, other than the fact that they now have to learn how to play with a new superstar, and that might take some time to adjust.
What about the De'Aaron Fox trade to the Spurs? Anything there?
So there is some interesting data this year. The Kings have been a couple points per 100 better with Fox off the court.
Wow.
So it could actually be an addition by subtraction. And then LaVine, who historically was a negative player, this year, the Bulls were actually 9 points per 100 better when he was on the court. So I don't know if he was just, I don't know if he's gotten better. But you know, just kind of looking at it abstractly in that kind of fashion, you might argue that San Antonio or Sacramento walks away from this ending up being a better quality team.
See, that's the kind of basketball. That's the kind of fascinating thing with basketball that I don't think you can find in other sports, because it is five guys at one time all moving around the court. So our ability to stop and assess, our eyes, we can sort of assess what happens. Dean Oliver once said this the best. Our eyes can tell you what happened in one game better than analytics, but analytics can tell you much better what happens over the course of many, many games more than our eyes can. And that's a perfect example. What is the likelihood, Carl, just to follow that up, what is the likelihood that the Spurs and Kings are aware of those things you just mentioned?
Very high, I would guess.
Think so, huh?
I think so, yeah. I mean, that's what I just quoted are pretty high level on-off numbers. I'm guessing that the right way to go about it, I think you have to do different player combinations as well to kind of see, like, okay, is Fox, you know, is it highly correlated with him being on the court with one other particular player? And maybe that's what it is. But yeah, no, I'd be surprised in today's day and age if those two organizations aren't aware of that type of stuff.
What do you like today in the NBA?
Well, what lines do you guys typically quote?
Well, as long as there's a consensus of a three or more, I'll say we'll allow it.
Okay.
Or if it's one big major book that's readily accessible, what do you got?
Yeah, so Circa right now has New Orleans plus 11.5. This is probably one of the best bets on the board right now, I think. New Orleans, they lost DeJounte Murray to an Achilles a few days ago, and I don't think he was really playing all that great this year. I think his defense was really struggling on defense. And this Nuggets team, they're down two players tonight, Westbrook and Peyton Watson. I don't think that Denver's kind of gotten it together lately, but they don't have the depth on this team to withstand two major rotational players being out. We saw it against Charlotte. Denver was like a 12-point favorite and barely won that game, had to come back late. So, and New Orleans is better rested too. They haven't played in a few days, whereas Denver's hasn't had more than a day off in 3 weeks and has even thrown a few back-to-backs into there. So, I think that this is, and not to mention, if you watch Malone's substitution patterns, like in the fourth quarter, he will keep Joker out. If it's a 7, 8, 9 point game, he will take him out until he really needs to put him in. So, I expect New Orleans to keep this game close tonight.
But that's an interesting point at the end, because even if they were in cover range, the back door is always open with that kind of substitution pattern, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Carl, killersports.com is where the database is, right? Killercappers.com is where the picks are?
Yeah, that's where I sell my picks, and I've got a few other sharp guys there as well that sell theirs too.
Okay. Carl Sack, everybody. Carl, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Have a great day.
Every Monday, Carl Sack with his NBA thoughts. And again, one of the few humans on earth that moves NBA lines when he releases his plays. So he's on the Pelicans tonight, plus the points at the Denver Nuggets. And I get back to that first question, Kelly, that I'm asking him. That, to me, is always the single most fascinating thing about basketball. Yeah, I've always said it. If your team was Bird, Magic, Wilt, Bill Russell, and Oscar Robertson, you're not scoring 300 points. Mm. There is a optimal efficiency to any five guys, and our eyes don't necessarily catch who is ultimately valuable and who isn't in the way that we might think. We'll come back, Super Bowl 59, and more hoops next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A special numbers game investigation reveals that Super Bowl 59 is 6 days away.
Let's go.
Big game almost here. VSiN has you covered from kickoff to cash out. All your favorite VSiN hosts will be breaking down the action all day long with expert analysis, sharp betting insights, and real-time odds updates live from Vegas. From early morning breakdowns to in-game betting strategies and post-game recaps, we're bringing you the most comprehensive Super Bowl betting coverage anywhere. Watch live at VSiN.com or the VSiN Watch app, YouTube TV, or tune in on SiriusXM 158, iHeartRadio, all major streaming platforms. Look at that. VSiN by the Books kicks it off Super Bowl Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern. There we are at 1 p.m. Eastern. Look at us.
Yeah.
Hey, we get to sleep in, baby. But all your favorite VSiN shows from 8 a.m. all the way through Joe Serralo cashing out deep into the wee hours. talking about the post game of Super Bowl 59. What a day.
Loaded schedule.
Can't wait. Can't wait, baby. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Again, always appreciated. Best listeners in the game. Vegas regular. Luka will lose $116 million not getting the Supermax deal. I alluded to this earlier, Vegas regular. Yes. Supermax to non-Supermax, it's a $116 million thing. You're correct. But with his ability to re-sign after next year, he probably makes some of that back. So it's not exactly that.
Yeah.
It's not exactly that. But again, then we get into, you know, contract minutia. And that's fun.
That's where we brought it up earlier. You and I were talking about it on the break. It's going to be tens of millions of dollars in the end, but it's some of this NBA financial stuff. It is hard to do, but I'm glad you brought it up, because that's what it would be, the stark difference from the Supermax.
Not that we want to like dismiss tens of millions of dollars, but still,
Can you imagine what Luka's feeling like today? Not only they tell you to, we don't care about you, we think you suck, get out of here, it's going to cost you tens of millions of dollars. I don't care how much money you have. Tens of millions of dollars?
It's just hard to wrap your brain around. Colorado River Sports. I've heard some people say the beer wasn't the sponsored brand. That's why Finley took it. I don't really buy that, but I've seen people say it. That was very Donald Trump of you. I don't know. People have said, people have been saying, Paulie M., Reeves, LeBron, and Luka on the floor at the same time. Nobody protecting the rim. Can you say turnstile D? Whatever team plays the Lakers, I like the team total over.
Yeah, I mean, again, they currently don't really have a center. But so things are going to change. But yes, Paulie, I think that's the way to look. The defense will be optional for the Lakers end of the regular season. Here.
Colin Murphy backs that up. Isn't the play to play the team total of the Lakers opponent over the total until the books catch up? They're going to be terrible defensively. The reason that I don't bring that up is because I think it's the obvious one that they will adjust for immediately. Right. I think the other stuff's a little more nuanced.
Yeah, I think the offense that we discussed, that part's fascinating, because how much of the hot potato do we get early? Like, hey, LeBron, it's your team. You go. And it's, hey, Luka, you're Luka. You go.
Chris Hartman, Gil, the Lifestyle Podcast. Outstanding as always. I one omission, in my opinion, regarding best burger, the $50 burger at Barry's. I cannot recommend it more. It is phenomenal. Follow with the warm butter toffee cake.
Oh, that is so good.
Enjoy. You're welcome. Thanks again. The burgers that I recommended was a Bill 80 find at Oscar's here downtown.
Butter toffee cake is amazing.
And then I think it was it Crack who had the other burger recommendation? NCI95 Gambler. Was anyone else annoyed with Adam Schefter this weekend trying to compare the Luka trade to an NFL equivalent? So annoying. Well, NCI95 Gambler, that was the first thing that I tried to do. I was like, okay, what is this equivalent to? And there is no NBA, and the NFL ones are kind of not really congruent with it either. But I did. I was like, what does this compare to in our sports life history? Josie714.
Okay. I'll say it's like Joe Burrow for Jared Goff. Does that work? Because Burrow's established enough, but he's still young.
I don't even think that does it, because Jared Goff isn't one of the 75 best players of all time. Josie714. Okay, Luka being out of shape has no legs. You're out of shape, you're not prepared, you play no defense, but you're all NBA first team last 5 years, top three in MVP last 3 years, and just carried your team into the final 7 months ago. Josie714, thank you for saying this.
Preach.
This is, I will make a football comparison. You know what the one thing that Jaden Daniels being on Washington drove home more than anything? None of this other stuff matters, right? Washington was like the kings of the offseason for 75 years in a row. It doesn't matter. When you win, you win. I don't know if you know this, but the object is to win the game and to win titles. And so it's just, I agree with you, Josie.
Stars win championships.
Especially the NBA. Ben Handorf. So, Gil, this is how I see it. Luka has a barley and hops issue. AD has a body and hops issue. Pardon me. Get it? Barley and hops versus body and hops. If Luka can't put down the PBR and learn some work ethic in the gym from LeBron, this is likely one of the most lopsided trades ever, he says. And by the way, Carl Sack, who gave us the Pelicans play at plus 11.5, bang, immediately moved to 10.5 on his play. And that's just doing it on the show. That's not even doing his like official release thing.
Yeah, Circle went 11.5, 10.5. Ding, ding.
Right. The James Lloyd, MGM moved the line a full point as soon as Carl gave it out. I was able to get it juiced minus 120 before the move. There you go. Jeff Cam, do you work fellas made to sound like the boomer I am get haircuts every day?
Huh?
He's asking if we get haircuts every day.
I get a haircut on Thursday. I get a haircut every 2 weeks.
Every two weeks. Yeah. I don't know. As soon as it starts to puff. I have a tennis play that remains today. Anyway, can I interest you in that, Kelly Bidlin?
Yes.
Split overnight. We're on now on the ladies side. We're both on outdoor hards in Abu Dhabi, and we're still on indoor hards. The indoor hard is the one remaining. By the way, split the ones this morning. Actually lost the favorite, hit the dog. So I think we lost 4 cents. Lost the minus 141, hit the plus 137 on Lulu Sun this morning against Caroline Garcia. The only one I have left is Elena Gabriela Ruse at minus 111.
Ruse, I didn't even get a last name right.
What'd you say, Ruse?
Yeah.
I used to say Ruse too. We'll allow it.
Versus Angelina Kalinina?
Angelina Kalinina.
Nailed it.
Well, sort of. This one is at the Transylvania Open, and I'm not even making that up. It's at the Transylvania. By the way, I was about to say I have this priced more as a Ruse at minus 135. Ruse is already minus 130.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, well, I should have checked that before I gave this out. It was great. Again, this is why it pays to be a subscriber and have the plays overnight, because we have about 20 cents here of CLV. What could possibly go wrong? But VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. Those folks had this last night or very early this morning when they woke up, and now we're 20 cents gone. So now, by the way, right as I do that, minus 131, minus 132 as we're talking. So this is a bookmaker. So no more value on that, in my opinion, based on the line that I have, because I had it priced at minus 137. So, I mean, technically there is value, but not nearly the value we had. So there
maybe,
you go.
Maybe they should just call you up.
They could do that.
Going closer to your line.
Rufus is coming up top of the hour. Rufus Peabody, who is the most successful bettor of his generation and made his hay on Super Bowl props. So we'll get into all that with Rufus. And I'm just thrilled to be able to just chill with Rufus for a little bit. Before we go to Rufus, Super Bowl bets, and obviously we have all week to talk about Super Bowl 59, and we will. Mm-hmm. Beyond the props, we're going to talk about the history with Rufus. Did you add anything so far? By the way, I still have just Kansas City minus 1.5, which I made immediately last Sunday night. And so far, remember, everybody's saying, oh, this thing's going to move. It hasn't moved yet.
Yeah.
Just sitting right there.
If anything, we've had a little bit of movement on the total, but like to go lower, which surprises me a little bit.
Everybody was so convinced, and maybe it will still move towards the Eagles, but it hasn't yet.
I don't know how much I see this line moving. I haven't added anything yet. Either, Gil, I have that AFC to win the Super Bowl future. So I have the Chiefs minus 115. I'm not buying off any of it, though. I'm going to ride with the Chiefs. And then I have the Kareem Hunt over 42.5 rushing yards. Isaiah Pacheco longest rush under 8.5. The one I will bring up again, I haven't bet it yet. I don't feel like I'm in any rush. I will be adding Mahomes MVP. We talked a lot about that last week. I mean, we're talking like a 50 cent difference from where the money line's at.
We have plus 120 now.
Yeah, like plus 120. And yeah. It just keeps getting longer. So why would I bet it now? I'm going to bet it at some point this week, though.
Well, and had I known that, I might not have bet the Chiefs either. Right. I might have bet that. You know, just Mahomes. Again, the MVP market by proxy is always a very clever way to bet this stuff. But when Mahomes was, you know, plus 105, again, chances of the Chiefs winning a Super Bowl and the MVP not being Patrick Mahomes, very slim, but there is still a possibility, right? It's non-zero. So at that point, maybe you do it that way, maybe you don't. But now at plus 120, I think you kind of do.
Yeah.
If that's your conviction. On the Kansas City Chiefs. Is there a prop that you gravitated towards here at all?
I'm adding at least a bit of that for the okay. MVP. I'm going to go huge. But yeah, I've just got the two rushing props for the Chiefs. Hunt over his yardage, Pacheco under his longest rush. I don't know. I think the Eagles side of this for props is really tough and interesting, because I just it's game script, right? They're going to try to run the ball with Saquon Barkley. How much are the Chiefs going to try to sell out to stop that? I don't know.
I went under on the national anthem. That's already been moved 2 seconds towards us. So we've got a little CLV on that. And They Not Like Us was my short shot to be the first song sung at halftime by Kendrick Lamar. Not Like Us. And Swimming Pools was my long shot. Rufus next.